The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
Hey, Stowe. This is Chris.
How you doing?
Long time no talk.
Hey, you sound quieter now. Is that like the nature of this rig you're talking through?
Yeah, maybe. Let's see if I can turn up the volume here.
I can always boost it later.
That's okay. Oh, so you're going to record it on your end, too?
Yeah.
Cool.
It'll be dueling. Let me do that now. Hold on.
Okay. No problem. Ooh, I'm on.
Yeah, I love this phone for that feature. I mean, it's got other great features. It's like got a really nice camera and everything, but this particular feature is really cool.
What phone are you using?
It's the Sony Ericsson S710A.
You know, I tried a Sony Ericsson phone for 2 days, and I had to take it back.
I love this one. I had one before that was okay, but the camera one was bad. I mean, it was just very limited. So I found that my photo stream had sort of tailed off to nothing, and I said, I don't like that. I like to take pictures all the time, and if the thing that's stopping me from doing this bad camera, I'll just better buy a different phone.
Well, I know that I had an issue with the menu system. It seemed like so convoluted to have when I wanted to post photos from the phone. Unfortunately, I can't remember the model. It's slightly older. I guess it would have been a couple of years old, or I guess it was a couple of years ago when I tried it. But after switching from Nokia, you kind of get spoiled.
Well, I love this one because I do everything through Bluetooth to my Mac,
mm-hmm.
and it's really easy to navigate and pull all the stuff off.
Oh, okay.
Control everything from the Mac side. I don't worry about what goes on the phone. Although this thing has one really great feature I love. It's this phone that swivels, right? It has a really big screen, so it swivels around one end, and the screen end, if you will, the headphone end, covers the keys.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's one feature that I really love. It's got a built-in speakerphone. So it'll ring, and it'll come up with things. It's so-and-so or this phone number. Do you want to take it? And I say yes. And then the call comes on, and the same button changes to be speakerphone on. I just press the button the second time. I don't have to open my phone to be talking to people.
Who's your carrier?
Singular.
I don't think Singular is covered very well out here on the West Coast yet. Or so
well,
I hear. So I
well,
hear
they bought the AT&T thing, so they have both networks now.
I used to be on AT&T a long time ago.
Yeah, they bought the AT&T wireless.
What's
so
that?
They have like a really big network. Now.
What's that beeping that I keep hearing?
Oh, that's just the thing letting me know there's recording.
Doesn't that kind of get in the way of things?
Well, except the interesting thing is it doesn't record the beeps.
Yours doesn't record the beeps.
Oh, sorry. I'm not used to having the guy at the other end recording.
It's okay.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. It'll record on your end, but on my side, it doesn't record. Doesn't make sense.
That's hilarious. So you've got your cell phone hooked up to a recorder of sorts, or it's actually recording on the cell phone?
It records right into the chip on the phone.
MP3?
It's one of these flash memory cards in it.
What's the format?
It's an AMR file.
AMR.
It's like a ringtone format.
Oh, okay. And then how do
But it's okay. When I drag it onto my Mac, it's immediately playable in QuickTime, and I can edit it in Audacity. I mean, it's...
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I just posted on this last night. I was responding to Steve Rubell's comment about dropping Microsoft. I think it feels like I'm being censored because I can hear the beep. yeah, you may now leave a message. I feel that the universe, when I go out and like shop for a new cell phone or any type of new device, even now I have to think about how I'm going to synchronize the data between one system and another. And that's a frustration. It's a gigantic frustration, for me at least.
It's a headache. That's why I have this tendency to always favor the device that's going to communicate best with my, in this case, Mac, but it could have been a PC. And I wanted it to be Bluetooth so I don't have to have cables or wires or any of that junk.
One of the things I'm looking at right now is I'm on the Verizon network, and I've got a contract that's up until April. And I don't really want to buy a phone and extend the contract for another 2 years. I want to have my options open at that point.
Right.
But the phone I'm looking at right now is a Motorola E815, which is relatively new. Got Bluetooth, 1.3 megapixel camera, the whole shebang. Although,
right.
The only thing that I'm curious about, and I don't know how well this would work, I don't know if I can actually buy the phone separate from Verizon and have it activated on the network, or if I have...
Well, that's what I did with this phone. I bought it on eBay. It was like $100 cheaper that way.
Well, how do you get it to work on the network, then?
Well, I already had a chip. I just took the SIM out of my other
card. Oh, so yeah, it's based on a SIM chip. See, I don't think Verizon does that.
Well, that's one of the great things about SIM. I mean, I walked in and let them do it, but I said, look, I have this existing number. Do I have to program anything or just move the SIM? And I said, no, we'll just move the SIM here. And I just did it.
I'll have to ask around about how I can do that. Because, I mean, I'm still with Verizon, and I've got, like, a data plan with them on my current phone, which is a Pocket PC, and I'm ready to just chuck that thing. Not because of the size, but because it's frustrating. When I want to answer the phone, it decides, no, I don't want you to answer the phone right now.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's the Pocket PC was not designed to be phone.
A phone.
Yeah. And
that's right, it's a PDA.
It is a PDA. And I appreciate the fact that it is a PDA, that it synchronizes pretty seamlessly with Outlook, which is my personal information manager. The only thing I would want to transport back and forth between, like, my phone and my home system is going to be my phone numbers, like my contact list. So it's essential that whatever I find, it's going to have that kind of conduit. And I know that Motorola makes software, but I don't know if that Verizon wants to sell you their own stuff called, I think, Get It Now. And yeah. I don't know. I haven't quite, you know, investigated it to the point that I'm like, yes, this is the one for me. So I've got to visit a Verizon store.
Yeah, I used to be on Verizon before I switched to Singular. And I hated it. I hated all their software. I hated their customer support. I hated it.
Oh, yeah. The customer support was really what turned you off?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had. I've never had a problem with their customer support necessarily, except at one point when I went in to get upgrade the Pocket PC to a newer version, like an AudioBox, which had the Windows Mobile 2003. Right. And I was paying like $80 a month for data. And
wow.
Yeah, it was expensive. And then they told me, well, you know, you can get this for like $40. I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah,
so
right. we just wanted the money.
Yeah, and it's I think it's rude. I had problems with, and Ponzi did too, with when we were with AT&T, they'd always overbill, always, and it was a nightmare to have to open the bill. In fact, that's the reason, one of the reasons why I ended up going with Vonage for home service at this point, because Quest kept overbilling us every single month. You'd get the unlimited, the unlimited long distance plan, and you'd end up getting charged up the yin yang. And so,
yeah, well, I tried the same thing. I switched off my home service and cut off the wires, and went over to Vonage for a home phone, and I bought all these, modern, very cool wireless phones all over the house that worked with against the base unit. And the problem is Vonage was just such a bandwidth pig; it kept leading to me getting dropped on the internet.
You know, I've never really had an issue with Vonage dropping me.
Are you running from a cable modem?
Yeah.
Running on
hell yeah.
DSL?
Yeah, I'm
well,
cable.
The problem with us here, and we know about this problem in Reston, we don't have enough cable for the number of people that are on it. And so you're basically, you're fighting, you know, when the kids come home from school in the afternoon, you watch the network just slow down.
Oh, boy, they're all getting online, playing their Doom, playing their Xbox, you know, Halo 2.
Yeah, it's a known problem. You know, you get that 4 o'clock effect. The bus comes from school, and then you want all of a sudden everything is slow.
Well, I know that one of the reasons I'm looking forward to talking with Michael is I'm looking at kind of a comprehensive solution for my home phone, internet phone, et cetera. And it sounds to me like, you know, Gizmo may be it. So I'm trying to find out more information from them
I stumbled across that the other day. I signed up and then didn't do anything with it.
Yeah,
I didn't download it or whatever.
You kind of need someone else on the network, which is why Skype has momentum, because you already have people on Skype.
There are 28 million of them on right now.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot.
And, you know, quite honestly, Skype has gotten to the point where there's so many people on it that I had to turn off the ability for anybody to call me because
some guy in Finland just wants to chat
with
him who speaks English.
Yeah, and you know, that was cool back when Netscape was doing Cool Talk back in like 1993. Yeah, it was amazing stuff. But now it's just kind of it would have been 1995.
Yeah, and you're too prominent for that, because what happens is you'll get weirdos, and you know, people will just, I can call Chris Perillo, boom.
And, you know, I've picked up the phone before, but unfortunately, it's usually trailed off into. So what are you doing? It's like, you know what? I don't even take that kind of crap from the people I do know.
Except for what we're doing right now.
Well, no, but there's actually a point to us talking. We've actually got things to talk about.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm interested to hear the outcome of your discussion with the guy from Gizmo. I'll be looking forward to that. We were originally talking about Podcast Patel. Hey, listen, do you want to come and do something there? You want to be involved?
I suppose. I think Alex would love that. I don't know exactly what.
Well, I'd love it, too. I mean, he's not the only person that's going to love it.
Oh, good. Well, if more than one person loves it, then I'm all for it. I live up in Seattle, so it's a quick drive down.
Right, right. So, you know, I think it would be very informative for you just to talk about your perspectives on it and your experiences and
certainly
where you think it's all going. Like, we'll give you a keynote, man.
Whoa. Okay. I wasn't
good?
Yeah, sure.
I wasn't afraid. What are you nervous? You don't like
No. That's probably out of all the conferences I've only keynoted a few of them, but this would probably have the most prestige added to that title. So I'm honored, or I would be honored.
Yeah, well, but the other thing it's going to be, you know, just to diminish, you know, the potential concern on your part. It's going to be a really crusty bunch. You know?
No.
It's going to be a lot of bitheads.
No, but that's, you know,
small group. It won't be like, you know, 15,000 people with your voice echoing.
That's okay. It's okay. You know, even events that are maintained by a handful of people and just a handful of people actually attend are usually the best events because you have a chance.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, it was just
an interesting crowd. It's going to be a mixed bag. You know, we got a lot of practitioners, people are in the space. We got vendors that are trying to do stuff there. We got entrepreneurs. And we got, you know, some analyst commentator types from the outside, like Stephen Baker from Business Week and Bambi Francisco from CBS Market Watch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a mixed bag. You know, I figure we'll have some people that are there for the business side are saying, you know, what's the business? How can I make money? And there'll be a lot of, you know, practitioners who want to learn, you know, hands-on stuff. So we got people showing them how to do that kind of jump, too.
It's pretty easy. I've got Ponzi going to blog her this coming weekend, and we've got a Marantz recorder. You know, records to compact flash, solid state, you know, used, you know,
yeah,
really
yeah,
high quality mic. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I took it up on the Boeing connection or connection by Boeing.
Yeah, I was invited to go to that, but I figured it was a little over the top to fly all over.
Oh, no, dude, did you see the video I recorded of flying around Rainier?
No, but I saw Eric Rice that had a clip.
No. You got to watch I've got a 3-minute long video of flying around Rainier. I mean, don't have to watch the whole thing. It's 3 minutes of your life you'll never get back.
I'll take a look.
But, it was absolutely amazing.
The reason I found out about Eric Rice is he sent an email busting my ball saying, you should have come.
Exactly.
The week before, and I said, oh man, I'm not going to fly out to Seattle. I'm going to fly around in an airplane.
No, dude. It was a fantastic experience. I can't wait to repeat. It was really fun. It spoiled me too because now when I step onto a plane, I know I'm not even going to bother to open my laptop because there's no connectivity and it's like, well, what's the use of opening your laptop?
It's available on some flights, you know.
Yeah, if you're flying internationally, but domestic, it's just too expensive. I think JetBlue would probably be the first airline to roll out the service, if anybody.
Well, how much is it going to cost?
An arm and a leg, or an arm and a wing.
It's like $25 to like go coast to coast or something.
Oh, I would pay $25 even if it was an hour flight.
But what are they going to charge?
I'm not sure if they've even figured that out yet domestically. They've just kind of started to roll the service out slowly but surely, and you know, are looking for reactions. And of course, by inviting press and bloggers into the same plane, they were hoping that they were going to get good feedback, and I, you know, we all gave it to them. Like, you've got to get this out in more planes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of the reasons I like taking the train from here to New York is I can connect on my cell phone, so I can get email info while I'm traveling. Now the stupid Amtrak guys don't have Wi-Fi, but at least since I'm on the ground, I can generally get data connectivity, upload and download stuff.
It's going to get to the point where you don't have to think about it. In fact, I thought about getting the Nokia, circling back to what we first started talking about, the Nokia
right.
N91, the one that's kind of it's got a 4 gig hard drive in it, like a 2.1 megapixel camera. Just an amazing phone.
Right.
But the problem is that my carrier, I can't change because of the carrier that I'm currently on won't necessarily support it, and singular access is kind of spotty up here in the Pacific Northwest.
Right, right. Well, this thing is on their edge network, so when I'm in places like D.C. and New York,
yeah,
they have a high-speed network.
See, it's as connected as Seattle is, it really isn't. You know, you'd think that, oh, you know, you must get the latest and greatest things, but no,
yeah,
not really.
It's not in the top 5 cities, you know, which is where they focus everything first.
Yep. And that's a small frustration. But, you know, that being said, the N91 would have been a fantastic phone for all the features that it has, you know, being able to connect wirelessly. But I thought about getting the phone independent of a network. The issue is that you kind of need it, unless you want to just rely on Wi-Fi, which, of course, the phone has the capability. I would have to be in a range of open Wi-Fi in order to use the phone. And I could use, like, Skype on the – I think they make a Series 60 a Skype version, and then use that and then just port all my contacts over to Skype or just get the Skype out and call from there. But, again, you're limited on – needing an internet connection. There are some places out in the middle of BFE that just don't have connectivity at this point.
Yeah, that would suck.
Which is kind of sad. So yeah, it's I'm running into issues right now, even with phone service on the personal front, on the business front. We seem to be fine. I'm recording on a landline at least, so the quality may be a little better.
Well, I used to do that. I had a gizmo, and I recorded onto little tapes, in the old days.
Tapes.
The old days. And that's when I was doing interviews, and I'd get, send out the tape, and someone would make, create a transcript and email me the file back. I mean,
boy.
That seems old now, doesn't it?
It's a little antiquated. We were at the store, the Best Buy yesterday, and looking at maybe getting a smaller form factor camera to carry around, and... We were talking about the various options that they had, and Ponzi started looking at the camcorders, just a little, mini DV camcorders. And I told her, I said, yeah, it'd be neat, but the problem is that you've got to get the information from the tape onto your computer, and it's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, yes, you plug it in, you press play and all that. Yeah, it's quite honestly, it is a pain, considering that we can record, right now, at least with our digital cameras, you can record movies. I've got the PowerShot S2IS, so I can record as much as the SD card can hold, 640 by 480 at 30 frames a second. So it's a high quality video. I mean, for the web, it's just an amazing quality video at this point.
Right.
But it's a lot easier to do that way, to transfer it in AVI, than it is to actually take it from a tape and all that stuff. It's a mess.
Run it through some kind of a mastering.
Yeah,
phase.
It's
a pain in the ass.
It really is. And so I see as solid state devices continue to proliferate, more and more digital cameras, I have a feeling, will turn into camcorders of sorts. I mean, you're not going to have the same types of features as you would.
Yeah, this camera I'm holding in my hands right now has the ability to create video.
Which one is that?
That's the Sony Ericsson S710A.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But the problem is, there's no clever way to get good sound when you're doing that. There's no microphone that I can plug in. There actually probably is a way to do it. I have, there's a microphone arrangement for this phone. You can plug it in. I've got one. But it's meant to be the one you use for making a phone call. So it's not something you can put like a 30-foot cable and clip it onto the guy you're interviewing, for example, which I would like to do. So I'm going to see if I can get such a thing made by somebody. I've got this thing. Can you, extend the cable, 15 meters or something?
Yeah.
So I'm going to try that because that would solve the problem. I could use this as, an interview device, video. Because the thing is only limited by the capacity of the memory stick I've got in it.
Well, I've got, on the Canon PowerShot S2IS, it has dual mic inputs, like on the front, in the sense that two places to record, no jack to plug in an external microphone, but it does record in stereo, 16-bit, 44 kilohertz. It's no slouch. The issue is you kind of need to be in an environment that's a little more controlled to get the higher quality audio out of it. So it's not the perfect video recording solution, but it does work in a pinch. At this point, until they,
Let me ask you a question, sort of more on the path of the podcast hotel themes.
Because
we're talking about phones. I was talking about this with someone earlier, and that is, is the big wave. I mean, there's an obvious wave, a big explosion of interest in podcasting going now, and everyone's downloading stuff onto their PCs and onto their iPods. And a lot of the growth, recent interest is, at least to some extent, due to the iTunes 4.9 coming out and the ease with which now people can do that, or the apparent ease. I mean, I don't think it was any particularly easier than it was before, but with Apple sort of standing behind it, a lot of people are doing it that hadn't done it before. But what about cell phones? I mean, cell phones are a great device for listening to stuff on. I mean, they're not perfect, but everyone knows how to, listen to their voicemail, for example, on their cell phone.
Well,
or listen to a phone call, right? So
certainly.
What about, it doesn't take very much of a stretch to imagine, you know, this generation of cell phones, like the ones you and I are talking about or have, or maybe next week's model, having a much better orientation, you know, with intent of being a device that's designed for listening to podcasts.
Ultimately, Apple sees the writing on the wall. I mean, there's been rumors.
The iPod phone.
Yeah. And I think the iPod is going to kind of disappear in importance. The iPod has to, if the iPod's to survive, it has to turn into a phone. And Apple knows this because with higher speed networks, you know, continuing to proliferate. I mean, we're not there yet. We're not even close.
Right.
But as solid state memory devices continue to proliferate, you're going to want to carry less items in your pocket. So imagine having, you know, a separate MP3 player and a separate phone. Well, that's convergence that actually makes sense. Because
it really does. In fact, this phone has MP3 player pretensions, but you have to downsample the music so far, it's almost not worth it. But on the other hand, listening to highly downsampled audio of people talking, for example, the conversation you and I are having right now, having that downsampled to something to the level of phone call would obviously not be bad, because that's what we're recording in the first place.
Yeah. I think it's going to move that direction. You're going to have local storage on the phone, but on top of that, you're going to be able to stream from your home machine or your home account, whatever your account happens to be, with connectivity, whether that be Wi-Fi connectivity, whether that be actual, like, well, if you will, like EVDO or some type of high-speed connectivity. That's
right.
The way it's going to go, because people are not going to want to synchronize anymore. It's just going to be click. It just works. And I think
There's something sitting in my inbox logically on my phone, but it's not really on the phone. I click it, and it's streaming.
Yep.
From a server.
Yep. And that's the way most of it is going to be handled. I really believe that. That's the way it should be working. It's not there yet.
Absolutely.
At least in America, it's not there yet. And I think.
I think you're dead on. I think that's. You know, that's such a bigger number of potential users.
Oh, it's a huge number.
All the people who have PCs also have cell phones, but there's also a tremendous number of people who have cell phones that don't have a PC at all.
Yep.
Or they don't have an iPod at all.
Yep.
So, that's an amazing breakthrough. I'm just wondering, when do you think that generation of phone is going to come out? Is it going to be like next week?
No, it's in terms of first generation phones, we may see things maybe in the next 3 to 5 years. That would be my educated guess, because the market is still tied into the carriers so much that the carriers are kind of dictating what's happening with that type of,
Well, I'm going to come out a little bit more aggressive, but I'm always starry-eyed when it comes to this stuff. Because I believe, for example, the phone I have, if they just did an upgrade of the firmware, it could do this stuff. Because it has the memory, it has the MP3 player pretensions already.
You still need connectivity. And I mean, the services kind of exist to a certain degree. I mean, you've got Napster.
I've got
and
access to Edge, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, then.
High-speed data network.
Yeah, you're doing better than most people are.
Right.
It has to become ubiquitous insofar as it's just there. It's like going into a hotel at this point. You'd think that everybody has Wi-Fi or everybody has broadband, but it's just not the case.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, the reality is they won't provide the infrastructure. They won't have the services in place until enough people have bought into technology,
yep.
at least of this generation, like the one in my hand, or better.
It's almost a chicken
and
before the egg.
The average half-life, I guess, of cell phones is something like a year and a half. The average cell phone lasts a year and a half before people break it, lose it, or upgrade.
I think, and I'll go on record by saying this, I think the Xbox 360 is going to change the way people use media, at least within the home, and specifically within the home, and as it extends out from the home.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can't look at the Xbox 360 as a gaming machine. It is. It's a fantastic gaming machine.
It's also a gaming machine.
Exactly. It's Microsoft.
It's the magic little black box that's going to fill that entertainment gap in the home.
It's revolutionary, and I really mean that. Beyond the graphics capability, and I've seen some of the videos, the high quality videos for some of the games that are going to be released on launch, and I'm blown away personally. I've got to put my pre-order in somewhere. I don't know where yet, but they're going to have these Xbox 360s, and the kids are going to be screaming for them at Christmas,
right,
and
absolutely.
You know, a lot of households are going to own them, and what it's going to fuel is purchases of more PCs, because people are going to realize, oh, I can have a wireless A network in my home, and not a lot of people have wireless A routers. Most of them are just now upgrading to G.
Right.
But with a wireless A router in the home, you could use the Xbox 360 as an extender for your media center. Of course, you'll need a media center to record your high-quality video, HD video, and stream that wirelessly to your TV. And with a, you know, a wireless A adapter on your Xbox 360, you don't have to run any extra cables or wires or what have you.
Well, you can see the coming battle for the living room. I wrote about this not too long ago, which is, you know, that's coming from the Microsoft side. From the Apple side, they're taking their position of dominance from iTunes and iPod in that sector, and they're going to come out with some kind of a device that is their entry into being the, you know, the media center for the home, the black box in the living room.
I don't think Apple's even close yet. I don't see their strategy quite yet.
Well, they're traditionally very closed-lipped about what they have behind closed doors.
You know, I'll give Apple the elegance factor, the fact that they sell sex, and I'm fine with that. And I've got, you know, an iMac G5 sitting upstairs, and it's pretty. But right now, it's not functional. It's not it's closed off. It's a walled garden of sorts. It works, and I can share my iTunes playlist and whatnot, but I can't easily share it with my stereo downstairs. Now, contrast this with the media center that I currently have in the other room. When I add, you know, when the next media center comes out, supports, I'm sorry, the media center edition, the Microsoft operating system and computer, when I've got an HDTV tuner on board, when I've got the new version that's going to be released right around the same time frame as Xbox 360 that's going to enable me to, you know, record HD as well as kind of toss my digital cable tuner at the same time, then take that experience and then stream it wherever else I have a media center extender in throughout the house, and suddenly I've got no boundaries, and it just works.
Well, I believe that the case stands for Apple to come out with their offering.
You know, they've got to. This is a play. You know, Microsoft's got to play catch up on the iPod, and they're never going to make it.
They'll never catch up on that.
They're never going to make it.
Microsoft can play all they want, and they'll never catch up. It's too late for that. But the Apple guys have got to come out with an offering in this space relatively quickly, or as you outlined, Microsoft will run away with the living room.
Microsoft's already got the plan, and I'm telling you, D-Day is the release of Xbox 360 and the update for the Media Center Edition, because one is going to fuel the other.
Apple is forced. They're forced to make an announcement product this fall, even if they don't have it.
I'm all for it. You know, I mean, I really am. I love the elegance of Apple, and I think it would make perfect sense to put that in the home entertainment. But that being said, if you haven't seen the Xbox 360 in terms of what they're doing with it, you know, the Media Center experience as well as, you know, the onboard experience, it's slick. I mean,
I believe it.
They really did it well. And of course, Media Center is now entering its third or fourth revision. And it's as far as that entertainment experience, I think they're really hitting it, because now I don't have to have a separate tuner here and a separate tuner there. I don't have to have all my music on this machine, that machine, this machine. I have it on one machine, and it would just be so amazing to take that machine as the center of my digital universe. You know, then it suddenly makes sense to get something like the Orb Networks, if I've got the bandwidth to handle it on my cell phone, and never have to worry about getting an MP3 player again. I'm not there. It's not there yet. The infrastructure is not there, the data infrastructure, but the potential is there to be able to stream.
I also see the smarter cell phone, the phone that isn't, you know, like the phones we have today with much more features, a better network, fundamentally, you're right. Then people will be able to just sort of leapfrog away from never having an MP3 player. They'll just have a phone that has the ability to tap into the hard drive that they have in their black box in the living room and listen to music that they already own and have already ripped.
Yep.
They can listen to wherever.
That is what I think is going to really change the way home media works.
I agree.
I mean, it's not just because it's the excuse of HD, and, you know, once you go HD, you cannot go back. I mean, you can try, but it's like going from broadband to dial-up again. It's just you just can't do it. You physically can't bring yourself to watch anything in 4x3 again. It makes you nauseous because you know that it could be, you know, a million times better, not just twice as good. So when you have units that, you know, you plug in And then they just work. It's one less hassle, one less hoop that you have to jump through. And so you're going to have people upgrading from their VCRs finally, because the Xbox 360 has got, you know, the DVD playback. The only thing I think it's holding it back, and maybe they'll have a second generation Xbox 360 that will be able to play back HD DVDs. I think that's where one point that it's actually missing. Is that it won't play that content, because they couldn't get it in terms of price and in terms of timing. They couldn't get it out with this particular version. And people are comparing that against the PlayStation, you know, the Xbox 360 versus the PlayStation. But what the PlayStation lacks is exactly what Microsoft makes up for. And some people are willing to have that trade-off. And I would argue that the Xbox 360 is going to become a media center extender in and of itself, and just be able to play games, as opposed to just a plain old media center extender that takes the same content from the media center and then plays it on whatever kind of televisions or stereos you may have throughout the rest of your house. It's just
it's a fantastic time for this to all happen.
Oh, I agree. Relative,
you know, these are like separate trails happening, but it's all converging to, you know, a completely different media context. I mean, you've got all this hardware. And, you know, the new connectivity of these devices at a phenomenally, you know, more advanced level. So, you know, the world that we're going to be looking at 2 years hence, when we're, you know, talking in July 2 years from now, getting ready for the third podcast hotel, it might be quite a different story. You might be recording on quite different devices then.
Well, you've got longevity. If you're planning on a hotel, at least you're not doing podcast motel, which would, of course... You know, assume that, you know, it's just kind of like in and out for an hour or so for whatever reason. You know, you needed a quick crash before you drove the rest of the way. So you've got it's happening. Is it the 6th, 7th, 8th of September?
Yeah, it's going to be Tuesday night, then all day Wednesday, almost all the day Thursday. I think we break at 4 on Thursday.
And what's the structure? I mean, the structure sounds so incredibly unique that I don't know if I've wrapped my head completely around what you're trying to accomplish with it.
Well, it's actually not that much of a departure. I think when we've talked a lot about the sort of innovative, sort of wacky, crazy, fun parts of it a lot in the past. But the actual, you know, if you will, workaday part of it is I wouldn't say a conventional. It's definitely an unconventional kind of conference. But a lot of it is, you know, very smart innovators, entrepreneurs, practitioners talking about what they know or what they think is going on in the world of podcasting. So we've got a lot of you know, people like you, for example, coming and talking about their experience and what they've been doing. We've got a lot of people, you know, from some of the innovative companies that are building the technologies out there that people are using, like Eric Rice is coming, for example, and Rick Clow is coming from Feedburner, for example. So we've got those kind of people. Then we've got some analysts and you know, thought leader types who are sort of watching the market, not as themselves primarily as practitioners, although they are themselves practitioners. But so we got Stephen Baker from Business Week, who does the blog spotting blog, and Bambi Francisco, who's going to be doing a remote thing with me from Madrid, actually. She's from CBS MarketWatch, and they're going to be talking about the growth of the market. What does it mean for the large world, media, the society at large, or business.
I still find myself stuck in the world of not being able to find good quality podcasts.
Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful problem, and I'm sure there are entrepreneurs that have got...
Why is that a wonderful problem? I tend to believe that it actually takes away from the idea that this is a fantastic medium, because there's so much... It's like blogging. There are so many craptacular blogs that are only important to like two or three people. That,
if to them.
Yeah, exactly. It seems to take away from the greater good.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's a great problem, because then, you know, services come along like a Technorati, for example, right, to help people make sense of, you know, for this theme, you know, that I'm interested in, this keyword or this tag now, you know, what are the 27 entries that have been posted in the last 2 days? Rank them by order of authority, you know, so you can use the collective intelligence of, you know, millions of other people to help you select, all right, since I'm interested in this topic, here are 10 plausible choices for the 10 I should look at, because I've only got 25 minutes to spend on this.
Text is infinitely easier to parse, and you can get, like let's say, I mean, we're recording this, you know, recording here, and on my end of things, I'm getting the beeps. So the question is anybody going to listen through the beeps to hear the content, or is it going to be something that...
Well, I've got a trick. What I'm going to do is I'm going to edit this conversation we're having and pull out the 6 or 7 sound bites of you saying something enormously important, and that's going to be embedded in me doing a relatively short monologue, just, you know, setting structure for those comments, and that's all going to be like a 15-minute show.
See, now that's a very interesting way to approach things, and certainly would be something that in listening to many podcasts I would appreciate, because it keeps the conversation kind of focused or directed, at least, if not focused.
Right, yeah, well, I'm not one that I tried to do. Well, I did a bunch of podcasts where I was, for example, on a panel session, and I was running a panel session and 5 people spoke, and I recorded the whole thing and then served it up verbatim, but I found that I was bored with it. And at first I said, well, I'm just bored with it because I was there and I already heard it, and then I thought about it long and hard, and I said, no, I'm bored because I don't like panel sessions. So why am I using this format, even though I despise panel sessions? And it was really sort of because it was easy. All right, but what is easy for me as the creator of this content is not necessarily what makes it, you know, most palatable to those who are going to listen to it. So I switched, you know, in the last couple I've done, like the one I did at Le Blog from Le Blog in Paris, I actually interviewed a couple of people on a certain topic, Doc Searles, Lee Bryant, Paolo Valdemarin, you know, a bunch of really smart people. And then I pulled out, you know, a few minutes of the discussion from each of them and embedded it in a monologue for me, saying I was at Le Blog and I talked to these really smart people about this problem. Here's what I think about it. And then I had sort of supporting or, you know, contrasting viewpoints from the other people. And it's like 15 minutes. And that was my most successful, podcast, both from my viewpoint and from the reviews I got from people who commented. So
yeah.
I switched over. I said, okay, you know, and the other thing, of course, is that's a lot more like my blog writing style, right? I mean, I'm not having a bunch of panel sessions in my blog. I'm writing a monologue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get involved with a dialogue with people through the comments, but every post I write is written for me in my voice. So it actually works a lot better. I found it's a better format. It requires more editing.
One of the first things that I did also required editing. When the whole thing exploded right around Gnomedex 2004, I went on record by saying, this is just simply smarter broadcasting, or, as Ponzi put it, better than radio. And those terms still hold true. I gave people a phone number, and I said, here, call this phone number, leave a message, it'll come to me in MP3 format, I'll edit it together and throw it online. And it ended up being like a series of like mini interviews of sorts, or just monologues, kind of spliced together. And in my opinion, worked out very well, and you kind of given me pause, and maybe I should reinvestigate that with a hot topic of the week.
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah, I think I will.
That's what I did in Paris. I was asking, you know, about the blog anti-hype. You know, the people, there was a flurry of articles coming out just before I was there. You know, blogging is at an all-time pitch, and then everyone starts to say, blogging is a bunch of baloney, or whatever. And I asked these very smart people their perceptions about it, and it was both an informative and interesting experience for me to go through the questioning, but it was also, I think the outcome was better than stuff I had done before. So, I think we're all still learning.
and speaking of still learning, don't you think we're kind of past the hump of the uniqueness of blogging, or even using that as a word?
What do you mean?
Well, it seems to get overused, and we tend to hide behind that. Instead of blogging about blogging, shouldn't we just be blogging about whatever? Does that make any sense at all? Kind of like, you know...
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain point where, you know, it becomes so pervasive, and we don't have to talk about it anymore. We can talk about media.
Yeah.
Another medium.
Or just talk about what it does for people in general, or does for a business.
Well, I guess people still use it as a distinction from the conventional way the mainstream media does what it does, because blogging, you know, the term comes along with not just the technology, but, you know, this whole collection of sort of social ethics involved, you know, this mm-hmm. whole mindset of people that do it this way as opposed to that way. You know, the social media, open media, whatever you want to call it, you know, the blogosphere versus mainstream media is still a meaningful distinction, even though it's very blurred in the middle.
Well, I ended up running into frustrations with blogging and traditional media at Gnomedex, because
mm-hmm.
each one of them is great in their own light, but I had certain bloggers who were fantastic writers, had, you know, fantastic websites and presence, who were clamoring for some kind of press pass. And I had to present it insofar as, look, yeah, I can do this for the people who are actually participating, but unfortunately, most of the audience that I'm going after is either traditional press or it's people who are using blogging as a technology tool to further their career, their business, their life, their lifestyle. So I would have to give everybody special access,
right,
and
right.
I've kind of already done that.
Everyone's a blogger, everyone would get in.
Yeah. And
you got to have some reasonable criteria.
Yeah.
How many readers do you have?
It's easier for bigger media to get away with doing that than it is for smaller shops. And you would know, I mean, after having just kind of getting this is the first podcast hotel, and really, at least as far as I can see, one of the first physical gatherings that Courant has actually done.
No, it's our first one.
Okay. Because I remember...
We're doing another one in, I guess we're looking at the first week of November or the last week of October. I just got a bunch of people, Clay Shirky, Jeff Jarvis, David Weinberger... who else? Oh, a long list of people are going to be participating in a conference with me called the Courant Symposium on Social Architecture, on these very kinds of things. And we're going to be talking about tagging and search and
wow,
all that junk.
Wow. Now, is that already scheduled then? Is it got a venue?
No, I just got confirmation today from those people. Would they like to participate? And they all said yes.
Wow.
So, I mean, I only came up with this idea a few days ago. I blogged about it a week ago, I think. And then the last couple of days, I got involved with a big flurry of blog cross-references with Jeff Jarvis and Mark Cantor. Oh, Mark Cantor's coming, too. And J.D. Lassica and Kevin Marks. We're having this debate about open tags and are tags open enough and all that sort of thing. Anyway.
Tags are almost too open, I would argue.
Well, you should come. So I invited all the people that are involved in the thread, and then I turned around and asked all the people at Many to Many if they would like to get involved in some way, speak, participate, and they all, so far, everyone said yes that I've asked. So we're going to have some kind of a teleconference in a week or so to, you know, think it through a little bit more, but basically we'll get, you know, a small group of, you know, bright minds to get together and tear some of those questions apart. And okay, and also in passing, it's going to be Courant's second, you know, real world event.
You know, in doing Gnome Dex, I'm thinking about doing other like physical or real meet space events,
right.
or you can call it the Intermet. I don't know. Someone used that accidentally the other day. I'm like, you know, I kind of like that word, so I think
that's
I'm going
cool.
to co-opt it and use the Intermet as a way of explaining what happens when technologists get offline. They're using the Intermet. I'm actually walking the other direction and going and thinking more of along the lines of like teleseminars and really enabling people with knowledge about certain technologies that are either, you know, hot and happening now or, you know, just about to happen and are influencing buying decisions.
We're thinking about something, you know, sort of similar or complementary to that. We're thinking about launching a webinar service so
yep.
that Courant contributors can say I'm ready to, you know, do these three seminars or whatever and schedule them, and we'll handle all the financial end of it.
You know,
we'll market them, post them up at a site.
Logistics.
You do the transaction, you know, have a, you know, streaming audio capability, have you know, some kind of a mechanism for you know, a streaming display of the desktop and all that stuff, and we'll make that all available, and we'll also merchandise the downstream artifacts, you know, this recording of I don't know, somebody showing you how to use Flickr.
Certainly,
right?
Certainly.
And then people can download that thing and play it to their heart's content for the next year, you know, for $10 or whatever.
Oh, it makes sense.
So we're planning to do all that. In fact, it's Jeremy Wright. You know Jeremy, right?
Yeah, I know Jeremy, sure.
So he offered to try to do that, but of course immediately after we said that sounds like a good idea, he went off and decided to write a book. So he's been closeted in New Brunswick or someplace
oh, boy.
For the last 6 weeks writing a book.
I'll hold up.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I got to jump because I'm afraid I'm about to lose power here.
Sure.
We're having a violent thunderstorm all of a sudden.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I want to go make sure that my refrigerator is running.
Good luck, because I lost all my food like 2 weeks ago because of a power outage.
Yeah, well, we have one circuit that trips in our garage. We have the outside refrigerator that we, you know, keep basically as a freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like $300 of meat in the freezer.
Woo!
So I always, whenever we have a lightning storm, I check.
Get a backup generator.
Good idea.
Especially for that refrigerator.
All right, buddy.
All right, thanks, Stowe. Appreciate it.
I'll send you some information about the conference, and okay. we'll thread you in the themes there.
Sounds good, Stowe.
All right, buddy.
All right. Bye. Boy, oh boy. I love those beeps. In fact, I wonder how many beeps happened. Am I going to go back and count them all? I don't know.
The Windows Media stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.